Yes, sirree. I'm glad he can walk us through. Amen. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what all comes, and I just guarantee you this. A lot of folks say, well, preacher, ain't nothing ever happens to me.
Well, you just hang on. It's coming, okay? I mean, there are always things that will come in our lives, and just like that song there says, you need somebody to walk you through. Amen? Amen. I want you to take your Bible with me. Look at the very last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Look in Luke, chapter number 24. And, of course, this is the early part of the chapter. Talks about the resurrection. As you get into, obviously, all of those things, the resurrection of Jesus and the visit early in the morning by the women that come to the sepulcher and how they see nobody there, and they hear the angels tell the story that you're looking for somebody that ain't here. Amen. He has risen just like he's told you. So as you begin to read that story, and it drops on down to another story, starting in verse number 13, and we'll just read a few verses of that, if you will. And it said, and behold, two of them. Now, this is two of the disciples that are trying to figure out what's happening here. Two of them went out the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Then they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this time of worship and all the things that you have given us. Thank you for the music, the songs, the voices, and the prayer time, and the worship, everything that we're doing. I pray you get honor and glory out of it. Just bless us with your presence, with your power today, and give us the wisdom, the insight that we need. Just help us to see you and all that you have done, what you are doing, and who you are to us. And again, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Y'all just pray and we'll cough through it this morning, all right? I want you to look at this story, and I want you to think about this, about getting a heartburn, but it's the good kind. Amen? Getting a heartburn, but it's a good kind. You know, there's kind of a bad kind of heartburn that people get, right? But here, these men say, and you see what they say in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Amen? I'm telling you, that's a kind of a holy heartburn that I think every one of us ought to have today. I mean, we ought to desire to have a burning and a fire and a turning on the inside of us that, boy, Jesus has met with us. And as he's met with us, hey, it makes a difference when we know that we have been with him. Amen? I'm telling you, you go through your Bible here, especially in the Gospels, but other places beyond that, where people have met the Lord and it always made a difference in their lives. Amen? It made a difference in their lives. So I want you to look at this morning, though. Let's look at these men and this situation here on the road to Emmaus. And let's talk about some things that happened to them in this area of getting their hearts on fire. First of all, I want you to notice you see delivered to them, there was a challenge to their hearts. There's a challenge to these men and their hearts, the way that they're feeling and the things that are going on. You see how that when the Lord meets up with them, that he's talking to them, and he asks them, you know, what's wrong with you guys? What's going on there in verse number 17? What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? I mean, he comes up on them and he begins to ask them, you know, what's going on with you guys? Why do y'all look the way that you do? Like you just lost your best friend? Like, boy, something bad, terrible, and ominous is happening. Why are y'all so upset about something that's going on in your lives? And I guess that's all of us, but you see these men, they are talking to each other and they're having some depth of discussion. The Bible tells us there, verse 14, and they talked together of all these things that had happened. They're walking down the road and they're talking to each other, having conversation about all the things that have happened. I mean, maybe they're walking down the road and one of them said, man, I just can't hardly figure this out. I don't know what's happened. I thought he was here with us. We have seen Jesus do miracles. We have seen Jesus heal the sick and the blind and raise the dead. We've seen all these, and now I just don't understand why this has happened. We just knew that he was the one that was going to take care of all of our problems and we were going to be fine. And as a matter of fact, probably overthrow the Roman government. We'd be out from under the oppression. What in the world is going on? They're communing between themselves. But while they're doing this, hey, there's that question in their mind that comes to this. How could this have happened to Jesus? I want you to notice as they're walking along, they're like me and you get sometimes. I want you to notice, I believe you can see that they were, first of all, they were discouraged. You see some discouragement? I mean, Jesus notices as he looks at him, he says, I can see that you're sad. What is it that has discouraged you today? What is it that has discouraged you today? You walking through this life and you're discouraged over something? Are you down and out because this happened and another event maybe didn't happen, or it didn't happen the way that you thought that it ought to have happened? And man, you get into the place like they were discouraged. They were discouraged. Not only that, I think you can see that these guys, they've got discouragement, but you see that there is a disillusionment for them. When Jesus begins to talk to him, and by the way, the Bible tells us there in verse 16, their eyes were holding that they shouldn't know him. And they said in verse number 19, and he said to them, what things? They said, are you a stranger? Don't you know what's happened? And he said, well, what's happened? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Man, don't you know what's going on? I mean, we thought he was the one that was going to get us, as I said earlier, out of the oppression of the Roman rule and the Roman God. And they're disillusioned. All of that thought, all of that supposition has all passed away now. And man, we thought this was going to be it, but they're disillusioned. I want to tell you, friends, sometimes stuff like this happens in my life and in your life, and we get a place of where we're disillusioned. Well, I thought it was going to be like this, and now look how it's turned out. I thought we had it made, and now look how it's turned out. I thought this was going to happen. And even knowing that they'd been with the Lord, and that the Lord had done great things, and that the Lord had, as I said, healed all the sick, performed all the miracles, done all it, and told them and preached to them. And man, they're all excited, and now they've hit a place of disillusionment. Has your life ever hit that place where you say, man, it leaves you scratching your head like, what's going on? Why did this happen? Why this isn't what I expected. Certainly isn't what I wanted. But look, this is it. This is what has happened. And they were in that place of discouragement, disillusionment. And you know what that leads them to? I think it leads them to a place where you can say that they are in a place of doubtfulness. They're in a place of doubtfulness. Look in verse 22. Yea, and certain women also our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them also which went with us to the sepulchre and found it even as the women said. Listen, but him they saw not. And I'm kind of doubting about those stories that they've told. I don't know. They said this, but I ain't seen nothing. Amen? Well, the preacher said this, but I ain't seen nothing. Hey, the saints of God said this. They got up and they shouted and they praised and they had a big time, but I ain't seen nothing. You ever got there where you were in a place of doubt? And I'm telling you, you need to shake your head like this because you've been there just like me. Amen? I mean, doubtful. I don't know what they're so happy about. I don't know what they've got to rejoice over. I don't understand the situation. I mean, I don't know why it's falling out. I don't get it. Amen? And we get into a place of doubtfulness. Now, these are not some of what we say the main disciples or the apostles. These folks, right? There's a man named Cleopas here and another person, and we don't even know really the other person's name, and we don't know anything about Cleopas very much. But you know what? They were believers. They had followed the Lord, and they tell you that as much. And they said, we thought it was going to be him, and we followed him. We've been around him, and we've seen all the miraculous, and we've seen. But man, now we're at the place of doubtfulness. Can I tell you, even some of the, what we say, the main apostles and disciples, they doubted. Thomas said, well, I just won't believe it until I see him for myself. After that, everybody else says that he's real. Thomas said, well, I didn't see it. I don't know. We get doubtful. And I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how much you shout, how fast you run, and what all you can still get into a place of doubtfulness if you're not careful. Every one of us says, we can get there. We can get there. And as I say, things just weren't going the way they expected them to. Now, Jesus has met them here in the way. And somebody said this, if you begin to talk about him, pretty soon you get to walk with him. Amen. They've been talking about him. It might not have been real cheerful. It might not have been real clear. It might not, but they were talking about him because that's what the whole discussion was about. And then all of a sudden, they look up and he's walking with them. Now they don't know it. Boy, have you ever been there? Where the Lord was. The Lord sent somebody to you. The Lord sent something to you, and you didn't really understand, but it was him right there in the middle of every bit of it. Amen? Boy, I can tell you, that's a good time when those kind of things happen. But here they are. They're going down the road, and Jesus begins to talk to them. And they said, You know, we thought it was going to be him, and now we're all messed up, and we don't know what's happened and all that. And in verse 25, notice it says, and he said unto them, amen. Not only was there a challenge that they felt and they had in their heart. Second of all, I want you to notice the charge that came to their hearts. Jesus is about to deliver a charge to these men's hearts. He's about to deliver something to them that they certainly, I mean, they're in a depressed, disappointed, disillusioned, doubtful hearts. They're walking down the road. They got their head down. They're shaking it. They're questioning. They're wondering. This guy, they say, you don't even know what's happening. Why are you asking questions? Don't you know what's happened? Don't you understand? You ever get like that? Where if you're upset and sad, everybody else ought to get that way. Amen? Don't you come around me laughing. I'll be mad. Right? I mean, that's the way we are. I'm like that. A little old kid come up and you're like, what in the world's wrong with you? What are you grinning for? You know, we get like that. But I'm telling you, hey, snap out of it. And Jesus is about to help them snap back and get out of the situation. As I say, notice the charge to their hearts. Jesus came. And it said, Jesus himself also drew near and went with them in verse number 15. They didn't know it. I mean, it said Jesus himself drew near, went with them, but their eyes were holding. They shouldn't know. Here's Jesus, and he begins to challenge their hearts. How's he do that, preacher? Well, I want you to know, you can almost get this picture. It's like this. Jesus sought for them. Jesus sought them. And then, listen, Jesus, they're on a road leading back to a place called Emmaus. Now, the Bible tells us here that Emmaus is a certain distance away, you know, so many furlongs. That's about 7 miles for me and you, okay? So they're on the road, head down, discouraged and upset and all that. They're walking down the road. I don't know how far they've got, but all of a sudden somebody catches up to them. Can I tell you, it's the Lord. The Lord is seeking them. Can I tell you, when you're on that road of doubt, when you're on that road of discouragement, Jesus can come right up beside you and want to have a little talk with you too. Amen? Aren't you glad that he came? Here they're going down the road. As I say, it's 7 miles to where they're going. They're in Jerusalem. They have been there with all of the events that have gone on. It's a time of worship. It's an hour when everybody from everywhere that's Jewish, they're all gathered there. They've just had the feast. They've had all these big things going on. And as all of that is going on, they've got to go home. And all of a sudden, Jesus has died. And they're like, we don't know what to do now. I'll tell you this. I said they were discouraged. They were also fearful because they sure didn't know what this meant. Well, if they knew that we was with him and we're part, will they come for us too? The disciples are hiding up in some of the rooms in the city of Jerusalem. They're hiding out. They're afraid. They got the doors locked. I mean, they don't want nobody to find them. These guys on the road, they're scared somebody's going to turn them in. They're discouraged, they're scared, they're walking, they're going, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? Amen? Oh, the songwriter said, down the road came Jesus, right on time. Amen? I believe he's right on time with these men this morning. Here they are, walking down, sad, discouraged, disappointed, upset, whatever you want to say. That's what they are. And as they go along, Jesus looks at them and said, hey, what are you guys talking about? He said, what manner of communications are these? You are talking, and really the implication of some of the words here is almost like they're in a debating mode of talk. They're almost argumentative back and forth with each other. And Jesus said, what's this all about? What's that? Have y'all ever listened to anybody from the Middle East talk? I mean, when they do talk, they always sound like they're fussing to me. We were on the flight over to Israel, and we had, you know, just about a little bit of everything on there, and the stewardess came on and said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to flight number blah, 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 you know, and goes through that whole little spiel. And then she says, please hold on for a minute while I speak with some of our Arabic-speaking passengers. And then all of a sudden, I thought she was about to get in a fight. She said, and I thought, man, she's mad at somebody. But that's just the way they talk. It sounded rough, you know. So I'm sure these guys are talking back and forth, and they're getting a little heated. They're getting a, you know, what do you think about it? I don't think that ought to happen. I don't think it ought to look that way. But, you know, they're back and forth. And Jesus comes and said, what's going on? Why are you men in such a state? And he said, and your hearts are sad. He could tell the situation that they were in. Oh, there's nothing worse than a sad heart. You know what we all try to do? We want to lift it up, don't we? Well, here's Jesus. He begins to talk to them. He sought them. Aren't you glad this? He caught them. He sought them out and he caught up to them. And then he taught them some things while he had them. Listen, first of all, you notice what he taught them? It says in verse number 25, when they tell him, you know what they're thinking. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I want you to notice what he meant. He taught them, first of all, boys, you gotta trust the scriptures. You gotta trust the scriptures. Can I tell you today, you and I need to trust the scriptures. I don't care what people say. I don't care what all the scholars believe. I don't care what the books have been printed to say by those that are learned and educated. Hey, can I tell you, trust the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, the scripture said on the 119th Psalm, it said, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It was the word. He didn't say, well, it's what Dr. Bottlestop wrote here. No. It wasn't what this one over here taught. It wasn't what that. What he said is, I've kept the scriptures. Amen. I mean, get a hold of the scriptures, put them in your heart. And this is what Jesus is saying. Y'all have listened to this one, you've looked at that, and you've thought about this, and you heard this and that and the other, and now you're all broke now. He said, ought not these things to have been what are written in the scriptures about the Messiah? Amen? Can I tell you, hey, you and I have got to trust scriptures. Somebody will come up and they'll say, well, preacher, don't you think everybody in the world that's got religion's going to heaven? No, I don't. Why? Because I'm trusting the scriptures. Amen. The scripture said, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. I believe that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. Hey, Jesus told his crew there in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know what? I trust the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Oh, there's groups of people out here today. Well, you know, the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus and all, they're just as good as the Christians. No, they're not. Amen. You got to trust Scripture. Some of that other stuff will put you off track. It will give you the wrong ideas. It will, maybe it even sounds right. Maybe even it's, you know, even touches your heart in some way. But thank God you got to trust the Scripture. Jesus looked at him and he said, boys, don't y'all know what the Bible says? Amen. I want to tell you something. That's a whole lot better than what, don't you know what the preacher thinks? Don't you know what the Baptists say? Don't you know what, you know, Dr. So-and-so believe? Forget all that. Trust the scriptures. You got to trust the scriptures. But second of all, Jesus taught them this, to turn to the scriptures. Amen. He said that you fools of slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You got to turn to the scripture. I want you to trust them. But I want to tell you something. You need to turn to them and read it for yourself. Okay? I mean, you can hear me and you can hear other preachers and you can hear the Sunday school teachers and they all do a great job. Grab you a Bible and turn there yourself and read it for your own self. Amen? You know, believe it or not, us preachers make mistakes every once in a while. We left church one day, this back when I was pastoring out on Sand Mountain. We got in a car And my boys, both of them, they were little back then. They started laughing. I said, okay, what's wrong? He said, Daddy, you said something wrong today. And I said, you're kidding. Me? Be wrong? I said, well, what did I say? They said, you said George Washington discovered America. I said, he did. Amen. I'm just telling you, that kind of thing happens. We're going to make mistakes. Brother Ronald Guffey was preaching for us at the same church. And I think Scott Kemp was about, he's about 6 or 7 years old. Church was over. We're outside talking. And he's standing there looking, kind of looking up at us. And I thought, oh no, here comes something. I said, what do you want? He said, the preacher, he looked up, Brother Ronald, he said, the preacher made a mistake today. And I said, oh, he did. He said, yeah. He said, when he was telling that story about David and his sin with Bathsheba, he said, the prophet Jonathan told him, blah, 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 blah. He said, that's not his name. And I said, oh, you know that, do you? He said, yeah, I know it. He said, his name's Nathan. And I looked at Brother Ronald like, go ahead. Take it on, buddy. You're the one that done it. And he heard it, apparently. And Brother Ronald looked at me and said, well, son, he said, you don't understand. He said, I was using his whole name. He said his first name was Joe and his middle name was Nathan. And I just run a dog again and called him Joe Nathan. He looked at him and said, I don't think so. I'm just telling you, any of us can be wrong sometimes. I mean, we can say stuff sometimes and either, you know, just out of ignorance or out of your mind, whichever one it is. But, you know, you need to get in there and turn to the scriptures yourself. Jesus began, he said, well, in another place in the book of John, Jesus told him this. He said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. You need the scriptures. In John chapter number 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples and said to them, will you also go away when all the crowds left him now? And Peter says, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm telling you, turn to the scripture. Don't go out here and try to find some. Get the word of God and plant it down deep in your heart. Understand it, learn it, and turn to it for yourself so you'll know. Amen. Peter says, be ready to have an answer to any man that asks you about the hope of your salvation. You need to have an answer for them, and it needs to be scriptural. So, you know, you need to trust the scripture. You need to turn to the scriptures. And then, listen, you need to talk about the scriptures. Look there in verse number 32, where these men have gone back and they're talking to those others that have been there that they meet with. In verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know what they wanted to talk to Jesus about? The scripture. It got them excited. It got them drawn in. It pulled them to that place where they said, tell us more about the scriptures. Amen. I mean, we need to turn to them, but man, we sure do need to talk about them. We need to talk about the word of God. We can talk about everything else. Amen. I've told y'all this, when I was a young preacher, I'd sit midway or back in the back of a church, and I'd see all them old white heads down on the front row. Some of them old preachers. I remember, you know, going down there, and boy, I mean, there'd be guys there. Brother Berman Cape sitting down there. Brother Bill Castile be next to him. And I mean, there'd be some of these other older guys, Brother Herman Hale, and, you know, there'd be some of these old preachers be sitting there. And I'd sit there and I'd think, man, I'd give $1 million to be down there in that crowd and figure out what they're talking about. Well, one day I got down there. Old Brother Cape looked over at one of them other preachers. He said, how's your garden doing this year? I'm like, that ain't very spiritual. we sure do need some rain. I thought, well, bless God, what's wrong with you? Y'all sound like the rest of us, amen? And sometimes we need to talk about the scriptures. I mean, we need to talk, and I'm kidding, but, and they get into some other things. I mean, hey, man, when it came time for preaching, those men could get in on it, couldn't they? Amen? So we need to talk about the scriptures. But last thing, let's look at this. After all of this has happened, I want you to notice there is a change in their hearts. First of all, I want you to notice There was a fire that burned, and we just read it there in verse number 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us? And open the scriptures, by the way. Man, can I tell you, there ought to be a fire that will burn on the inside of every one of us. When we know that the Lord has come by, when we know that he's visited with us, when you know that he's been there, and it just sets your being on fire. Amen. You remember what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah got all upset about preaching and nobody listening to him and everybody against him. And he said, I'm just going to quit. And he sat down for a few minutes. And he said, but then he said, there was a fire that began to burn on the inside of me. Amen. Can I tell you, when that fire begins to burn, preachers will preach. Saints will shout. I mean, singers will sing. I'm telling you, it's different when the fire of God is there. And they said, boy, we sat here and listened to him, and it stirred a fire up. I mean, they'd been discouraged, they'd been disillusioned, they'd been doubtful, but now, thank God, there's on fire. They wanted to go tell somebody else that they'd met with the Lord. Amen. And can I tell you, that's what'll happen to every one of us when we get into that place. There'll be a fire that burns. But I want you to notice, their faith that is built. Their faith gets built. Look what it says there in verse number 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. It fired up their faith. They said, we believe it now. Before they were doubtful, but now they had some assurance. They were assured. And I'm telling you, that's what the church world needs today.
Amen.
Amen? I'm telling you, hey, this thing has gotten it just about into an entertainment industry. I mean, we've got singers and we got smoke and lights and all kinds of this and that and jumping and hooping and hollering. Brother, that's not what it, you and I need to have a fire of God down on the inside of us. And when that fire gets there, it will fire you up to where your faith is revved up. Your faith is renewed. Your faith begins to want to praise and worship and get in this thing with God. Amen. That's what it'll do to you. That's what it'll do to you. But we've gotten to a sad day where we're just, well, you know, preacher, it used to be. Oh, let me tell you, I know about the used to be's. But I'm telling you, I'm here in 2025 and it can be again. Amen. God ain't dead and he ain't through. Amen. I'm just telling you, their faith was rebuilt. I mean, you need to have your faith built up. Listen, here they are sitting there with him. And walking down the road with, and as they get to where they're going, he acts like he's going to go on down the road beyond them. And they grab him. And they say, uh-uh, this is too good. That's the way that it ought to be. That's the way your heart and my heart ought to be. It ought to be that fired up that we don't want to turn him loose. We want our faith to be kindled and renewed and upped and encouraged and lifted. We want that kind of thing. And then not only that, I want you to notice this last of all. I want you to notice the friends that beheld what had happened in their lives. You see what it says? They rose up, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11, and they said, saying that the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And then look. And they that told these things were done in the way, how it was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst. While they was there all fired up, you know what happened? The Lord said, I think I'll just come see all of you. Amen. And there he was in the middle of them all. And he looked at them and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. Hey, you know what them guys are doing? We told you. There he is. Whoa, hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, aren't you glad when you get in a church service like that? Somebody stands up and said, boy, the Lord has done something for me. The Lord's blessed me. The Lord's been good to me. And, you know, everybody else is kind of looking around like, and then all of a sudden he shows up. And they go, I told you. Amen. I brung him with me. Amen. Huh? I believe that's the way that it ought to be in our lives. Oh, listen, they came in dragging. But boy, they sure was high-stepping when this thing was over. Amen? And Jesus goes on. And, of course, if you read the end of the chapter here, Jesus begins to tell them, you know, hang around Jerusalem. Wait till you get empowered by the Holy Spirit. All of these things. And they follow him all the way out to the Mount of Olives. And there he's taken back up to heaven before them. And they stood there. Well, what does it say that they did in the very end? It said, came to pass while he was blessing them, verse number 51, he was parted from them, carried up to heaven, and they worshiped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing the Lord. Blessing God. Amen. Amen. What a way to end it right there. Boy, they were there worshiping the Lord, just like they came in on that thing. When Jesus showed up, it makes a difference, folks. When the Lord comes by your way, it'll make a difference. I want him to pass by your house and your way this morning. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song this morning. Maybe the Lord has come and blessed you and visited you and saw you in one of your sad, brokenhearted and tuned out kind of states that